You are listening to episode number 42 of the Secondary Science Simplified podcast. Okay, a little backstory before we get into today's episode. 2 years ago, I started realizing that about half of my time was spent creating resources, and the other half of my time was really spent communicating with teachers through emails and DMs and just trying to offer support however I could. And this led to the vision and the creation of the Secondary Science Simplified Professional Development course that first came out back in June 2021 and then again this past summer. But 6 months after I launched that professional development course for the first time, I really wanted a place where I could have conversations like this and offer the support all year long. And that's when this podcast, Secondary Science Simplified, was created. I love using this podcast to support you with issues you are having and to encourage and, of course, simplify how you do your job as a secondary science teacher. And so I hope that this episode will do all of that. And I wanted to share that preface because this episode specifically was inspired by an email I received from one of you a few months ago who really humbly reached out with an issue they were having and asking for encouragement and practical advice. And that issue was specifically the teacher was stuck in a position this school year teaching some subjects that she really, really hated to teach. I know personally I've struggled with this, and so that's why I wanted to create this episode for anyone else who is in a similar situation. So I hope that if you find yourself in a teaching situation this school year that you really, really hate, that you will give this episode a listen because it is for you. Let's get to it. This is Secondary Science Simplified, a podcast for secondary science teachers who want to engage their students and simplify their lives. I'm Rebecca Joyner from It's Not Rocket Science. As a high school science teacher turned curriculum writer, I'm passionate about helping other science teachers love their jobs, serve their students, and do it all in only 40 hours a week. Are you ready to rock the time you spend in your classroom and actually have a life outside of it? You're in the right place, teacher friend. Let's get to today's episode. First, let me say happy October. If you have listened to the show for a while, you know I am really passionate about doing the best that you can with whatever capacity you have in the current season you are in. And that's ever changing because your seasons of life are changing and also your capacity is constantly changing. And I know for me, one thing that I seem to never really have capacity for when I was in the classroom was doing anything fun and seasonally relevant with my students. I was either too busy getting through the content for the EOC exam, or I was just trudging through as best I could to make sure I got through all the standards despite Spirit Week interruptions and homecoming and all of those things. So I never got around to making fun seasonal things for my students. And so I figure a lot of you are probably in a similar situation. And so I have made a ton of fun, free seasonal resources for you. And I want to make sure you have those now that it's October, specifically the Halloween themed resources that I have. So I wanted to let you know before we got into the episode that if you go to itsnotrocketscienceclassroom.com/Halloween, you can grab 4 free Halloween themed resources specifically for secondary science. I made 1 for biology, 1 for anatomy, 1 for chemistry, and 1 for physics. And I would love for you to use those with your students this October in your classroom and let me know how it goes. I love hearing from you, especially in my DMs, seeing pictures and videos and just hearing words of what your students are enjoying doing when they use It's Not Rocket Science resources. So snag those and let me know how you enjoy using them this October as you celebrate some fun seasonal things with your students. Now, on a similar vein, again, I found that over the last 7 years of, you know, running my corner of the internet, if there is something that I struggle with, most likely someone else out there is struggling too. So if I struggle making seasonal resources, you probably do too. So I like to kind of fill in those gaps. But I've also noticed that if someone reaches out to me in DMs, even if it's something I haven't struggled with, someone else in my corner of the internet might be struggling too. And oftentimes, our struggles make us feel really, really isolated because we may not have the breadth in our community or, you know, the platform to connect with other science teachers and know that we aren't alone in it. And so that's why I wanted to do this episode, to hopefully encourage some of you that are struggling with teaching something that you hate teaching. Someone else in my community reached out to me about this and was looking for some advice. And I knew immediately that I wanted to share about this in a more public way, not just an email with her in one-on-one discourse, because I knew that others would be struggling with it, because I too have struggled with this. And before I share any advice, I want to preface this by saying one thing this teacher specifically mentioned in her email to me was just how positive I was and how she felt so bad feeling so negative about the situation. And so I just want to pause and say, I am not an innately optimistic person. I like to think of myself as more of a realist than a pessimist, but when you're married to an eternal optimist like I am, your realism often feels a lot more pessimistic in comparison to the eternal optimist that you have committed to living your life beside. So I just want to say that if I come off very positive, it is more because it's a lot easier for me to offer perspective, not being in the trenches like you are in your specific situation, and not just because I have this like magical unicorn cupcake rainbow sprinkle positive energy flowing out of me. That is not the case at all. But now, once you are on the other side of things, it's a lot easier to offer perspective because you're much less emotionally attached to the situation. Like I think now, even my youngest, he's only 5 months old. Or almost 6 months old. You know, it's so funny. With your first, you know exactly how many weeks old they are. And by the third, you're like, how old are you again? When did I give birth? What's your birthday? But even with him, he's not even that old. But like the newborn season, it's so much easier for me to encourage friends having babies that have newborns. And I'm only just a few months removed from having a newborn. Even just that little bit of space and time gives you a lot of clarity and a lot of perspective. So I just want to encourage you with that. Like if you're feeling really discouraged, I hope I'm not just like raining down rainbows and positivity in a way that makes you feel guilty for not feeling the same way. I hope to encourage you and lift you up, but also know that like I'm able to do this because I'm not in your everyday today shoes living what you're living, but I still hope that this advice is helpful for you. So all of that to say, I have been in this specific situation before, and now I'm on the other side of it. So I always said I would never teach middle school. Even when I was in college and at the last minute, I switched from being pre-med to being a secondary science education major. My advisor said, hey, you only need to take 2 extra classes and then take 1 additional praxis exam in order to take your certification from being 9th through 12th science to 6th through 12th science. And I said, absolutely not. And he tried to convince me. He was like, you never know. You may love to have the options. If it's hard to find a job, whatever. And I still said no. I was like, I don't want a reason to be forced to teach middle school. And this is nothing against like middle schoolers as humans. I think middle school teachers, you are a magical, magical people group. I'm actually bringing in a guest next month who's a middle school teacher because I want her to encourage you all as middle school teachers because I don't know how to do that. I think you're awesome. I just love high schoolers. Just like if you teach middle school, you may not like high schoolers and vice versa. So it's just something I didn't want to do. But then at the most recent teaching job I had, I ended up teaching at a private school, which I also said I would never do. So joke's on me. I should basically never say I'm not going to do something because then I end up doing it. So my first year at this private school, my schedule ended up being 2/3 eighth graders and only 1/3 high school. And when I interviewed and stuff, they were like, oh, we may just give you a section or two of eighth graders. No, I had 4 sections of eighth graders, plus I had eighth grade lunch. So I was on like the middle school bell schedule. And then I just had like 1 or 2 high school classes. And I was just so discouraged. I didn't enjoy it. Again, it was nothing against the individual students. It was just, I connect so much better with high school age students, and it really impacted my morale on a day-to-day basis, especially because I'm a morning person and I had my high school classes first thing. And then the rest of the day, I was trudging through sections of eighth grade physical science. And it just made my days really hard because it didn't light me up. And I don't know if you've ever been in a similar situation, whether you're teaching an age level you don't love, or maybe it's a subject you don't love. Like, you know, you're a life science person and you're teaching chemistry, or you're a physical science person and for some reason you ended up with an anatomy section. So wherever you may be, I think we can all relate to having a class or several sections of a class that you just don't love. And if you're like me, again, I like to say I'm a realist, but sometimes it can be pessimistic. I kind of will feel like things will be forever. Like it's hard for me to see in the moment, like I won't forever always teach eighth grade. And one thing that kind of reinforced this negative doomsday attitude, if you will, was that my admin kept celebrating me. They kept saying, you are so good with eighth graders. These eighth graders are so much better prepared for high school because they have you. We're so glad we have you in eighth grade. And I was getting really discouraged because I felt like, okay, they love me in this role. They're going to make me stay here forever. And I didn't want to do that. But despite that, and despite that positive affirmation I was getting, I was able to get out of the situation of teaching primarily eighth grade. And I'm going to tell you how I did that so that hopefully it will help you if you're in a similar situation. So my advice starts with this, and you're not going to like this, but just give me a second. First, I want to encourage you just to give it a chance. And not so that you can then be convinced that you all of a sudden love eighth graders, or you all of a sudden love teaching astronomy, even though you hate it right now. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying give it a chance because it shows your admin that you're a team player. You are willing to take one for the team and teach things that you don't love because you're a team player. I think that's a very valuable asset to admin. Second, I would say show your value and that you are an asset so they want to keep you. I think part of me, when I kept getting affirmed at how good I was at teaching eighth grade, was like, oh, well, I'm going to do a bad job. So then you won't make me keep teaching this. Like that's what I wanted to respond as, but that is not the way you should go. It's not best for your students and it's a very selfish perspective. So don't do that, but do a good job. Keep showing your value because it shows what an asset you are. And this can be earned. I think there's kind of two ways we can show our value. One is over time. Like if you've taught at a school for several years, you have earned a right to be heard with the time you've invested into this school. But I also think we can show our value just with the sweat equity and effort we put in. Even if you're a first-year teacher or you've only been at the school 2 or 3 years, really give it your all to what you're assigned to show your value, to show that like even if you're given a class that you don't want to teach at all, that you honestly may even hate teaching and that you dread every day, you're going to give it your all. And that shows that you are this team player. And it shows that you're a good teacher and they should want to keep you and they should do what it takes to keep you if that means taking away sections of things you don't want to teach. Okay, so give it a chance and show your value through doing it. Now, the next thing I want to encourage you to do is have an honest conversation with your admin and try to come up with some sort of compromise. Okay, so for example, I went to my admin and it was, you know, a several months into teaching eighth grade science, you know, I'd been giving it some effort. I was showing that I was skilled at it, but it still was not my thing. And I said, hey, I would like to drop a middle school section of eighth grade science every year for the next several years until I get to the place where I have all high school, or at least the majority of my time is high school. And this was a compromise. I wasn't just saying, putting my foot down and saying, I want no eighth grade science next year or I'm walking. I just said, hey, can we like start peeling back the layers here so that the next year I only had 3 8th grade sciences and I got high school lunch, which the lunch period may sound silly, but I really like to connect with students during lunch. And so having a middle school lunch period was really challenging for me to connect with my high school students that I was really wanting to grow in a relationship with. And so it was really important to me. And then the next year, I only had 2 middle school science. And then my last year, I only had 1. So that was a compromise. And you may need to make a different kind of compromise, but I encourage you to think of what are ways that you can kind of make a gradual transition out of teaching these things that you hate teaching in order to make it something your admin are more willing to accommodate for. And another reason why I was willing to do this was I said, hey, if I can slowly offload a section at a time to other teachers, I can then train them in how to teach this class as well. And so someone else isn't having to take on this huge burden. Like I'm slowly passing it on to someone else. And so for example, the way this looked for me practically was my department chair solely taught 11th grade chemistry and 12th grade physics. But he, in an effort to make a compromise and keep me on the staff, he was willing to take one of my sections of 8th grade physical science. But in order to make this a compromise, I let him have the honors section and I took the non-honors eighth grade science. And then I also gave him all of my resources to ease the burden that was placed on him. So I gave him all my curriculum, everything I was using, and I walked through that with him as well. So that is a couple of examples of how you can kind of make a compromise with this. And then the other thing I want to encourage you with when it comes to having a conversation with your admin is be really specific about the alternative value you can offer. Okay, so I already told you, show that you have value, but then also show the alternative value you add if you can stop doing the things they're making you do. So for example, if I am able to not teach X, then I can offer Y to our school. So for me, I said, hey, I want to invest more in the high school students at our school. I want to have more high school science sections and less eighth grade science sections. So I am willing to do more high school specific extracurriculars. I took on planning prom. I took on running student council. I took on being a volunteer mentor in our high school mentorship program that we had. And I did these things saying, hey, if you give me more FaceTime with high schoolers during the day, then I'm willing to do more FaceTime with high schoolers outside of class so that I can keep building these relationships with high school students. And again, that may not be a compromise you're willing to make, but consider what are ways that I can offer alternative value. So for instance, if you hate teaching AP chemistry, I don't know what it may be, you may say, hey, if I can stop teaching AP chemistry, then I will have more capacity to take on these other two preps, or I'll have more capacity to coach this sport, or I'll have more capacity to do lunch duty every day. And really consider what's a compromise you're willing to make there. I think that makes all the difference when we approach admin, if we're coming not just with complaints, but we're also coming with solutions. And another thing I want to encourage you with when it comes to having a conversation with your admin is to be honest with them and to go ahead and do it now. You know, this episode is going to be coming out at the beginning of October. And so it might feel really early in your school year. But one thing I've learned about getting help from admin and getting things I want from admin I've worked with is to do a couple of things. First is to always ask for help in person, face-to-face. It just comes off so much better when you can express your tone, you know, orally than when you shoot them off an email or something, or, you know, you leave a memo in their mailbox and then it gets lost on their desk. Like, give them that FaceTime so that they can really put a face to the request and they can feel and hear your sincerity and your intention behind what you're requesting. I also say ask early and ask often. Like, don't wait until next summer, next August, when you get your teaching schedule to then be like, oh my gosh, I got stuck with teaching eighth grade science again, or I got stuck with teaching physics again. I don't want to teach this. Put the seed in the ground now. Say, hey, I'm going to be honest. I do not like teaching marine biology. I do not want sections of marine biology next year. I want to go ahead and plant this seed now so we can start talking about it and talking about solutions and what we need to do to get to that place next year. Because I don't know about you, but like the schools I've taught in, my admin are starting to go to job fairs and starting to interview new people in like February. And then contracts are going out in April. And I know we all probably have that horrible clause in your contract that basically says, this is your schedule of what you're going to teach, but we reserve the right to make you teach anything we want the last minute, something like that. It's awful. I hate it. But that's where it's so important to go ahead and get this out there now. So they know this isn't just something, you know, you're complaining about the last minute or you're frustrated by. They'll take you seriously if you bring it up now and you kind of keep mentioning it. And the other thing I'll say too, I have a blog post about this, so I'll link it in the show notes, but really focus on the benefits for them, the admin, but also the big picture of how the school as a whole benefits if you're doing something different or if you're not teaching the sections, because then you have the capacity to bring in this new elective you've always wanted to teach or to coach and start this club or sport that you've always wanted to start at the school, but you haven't had the capacity because you spend all this energy being sucked out of you teaching three sections of general biology and you hate it. Okay, so really focus on the big picture. If I'm able to get rid of X, then I can do Y. If I'm no longer expected to teach class ABC, then I will be able to create opportunity XYZ for our students. Be honest with them, especially those of you listening that have put in some serious time equity at your school. You've been teaching there 5+ years. I think it's important to tell them and be honest that you will start looking for other opportunities this school year for the upcoming school year if you are continued to be expected to teach these subjects that you don't want to teach without having whatever compromise you've established. So maybe the compromise is, I hate teaching AP biology, but if there's no other option, I have to keep teaching it because no one else will. I need a second planning period because I'm spending so much energy prepping for this class that I don't enjoy teaching that's sucking the life out of me. Or if I'm going to be expected to keep teaching honors chemistry, I want a section of forensics because I've been dying to teach this elective for years. You know, so really consider again those alternatives, those compromises, where you can offer value, and then be honest. You aren't just going to suck it up forever. Like, you're going to be a team player this school year. You're going to do the best you can, but you're also going to be looking for other opportunities if they're not listening and responding to what you're saying. And let me be honest, I think you should actually start looking for those other opportunities on the side, because here's the deal. If your admin don't listen to you and hear what you say and try to take actions to keep you on their staff, then I really think you should consider looking for another teaching job. I could do an entire CER-based episode entirely dedicated to why I think great admin is the most important factor in having high quality of life as a teacher. And if you listen to episode 35, where I interviewed Zach Mattson, who is my own chemistry teacher, he's been teaching for 20+ years. He said the same thing. And I'm honestly thinking about bringing him in for another episode all about admin. But I truly believe that your quality of work life is going to be directly correlated to the admin you have. Not to the resources you have, not to your class schedule, not to your prep load, not to your teaching space and what classroom you're in, but to who your admin are as people. And if you've only taught at one school or under one set of admin, you may not realize that the grass could be greener somewhere else or that there's another way. We don't know what we don't know is such a true statement. And I will say, I thought I had great admin at my first teaching gig, and I will say I had good admin. But when I got to a different school where I had amazing admin, I was like, what have I been missing all of these years? I didn't realize it could be different. And so I think there are a lot of things that go into having excellent admin. But I think what you really need to look for are admin who care about teachers first, and they care about retaining teachers. Like, if an admin looks at you and says, you're replaceable, that's not the kind of admin who values teachers. Okay, a second thing I would look for is admin who really listen to teachers and are on teacher sides before they're on parent sides or even student sides. Like, they always give the teacher the benefit of the doubt. They assume the best in the teacher when they're corresponding with parents or students rather than assuming the worst. I think that's really, really important. I think also finding admin who are consistent and show follow through is incredibly important. And then just admin who genuinely care about the school they're in and not just working their way up the administrative ladder to the next level district job they're trying to get. And how do you know if an admin does all these things? You can get a vibe from your interview for sure. But the other two things I would do is I would look at the retention rate. Like, what's the teacher turnover rate at that school? That'll tell you a lot about how the admin care for teachers. And then also, if you can, connect and reach out to teachers at the school you're considering teaching at or you're interviewing at and ask them how it is working with their admin. That's where you're going to get the best intel on this. And now I say all this as I'm encouraging you to look for other jobs, but I also do want to recognize, I know this isn't a luxury for everyone. There are so many things that may be contributing to the fact that you can't change schools. You know, maybe every other school is too far away. Like, you can't commute any further. You're in a small space. You're not going to drive an hour to another school. Or, you know, maybe your own children are at the current school you teach and you don't want to be teaching somewhere different from where your students go, and you don't want to change your students where they're at. And, or maybe, you know, you have to stay in your current district to retain some sort of retirement benefit you're working towards, or, you know, whatever it is. There's so many factors I know that go into this. But I do want to say, I really hope the only reason you are staying isn't because some admin scared you into thinking that you're replaceable and that you'll never find another job, because that is just not true. I really hope you haven't been bullied to believe that, because the teacher turnover rate right now is absolutely absurd. And secondary science teachers specifically are almost always in high demand because it's not something that a lot of people feel equipped to teach. And so again, I really want to urge you, find someone in your face-to-face, real everyday life to kind of have this discussion with and be like, hey, I feel like I can't leave this teaching job because of these reasons. Will you be honest with me and tell me if these are legitimate reasons, or am I kind of making excuses because I have blinders on that are based out of fears that have been instilled in me from admin over the years? Like, can I truly not leave this job, or is this something I have blinders on? Is this a blind spot for me? And I encourage you to have someone kind of give you that perspective that knows you really well and knows your situation, because I truly do think you are probably more irreplaceable than you believe you are. And I think, I don't want you to feel like you're threatening admin, but that's where I'm saying talk to them in person and just be super genuine and come to them humbly and honestly and just say, hey, like, I have been teaching eighth grade science for 3 years, or, you know, I got put teaching earth and space science and it is just so out of my wheelhouse. It's sucking the life out of me. I'm having a really hard time doing this job because I just hate teaching it so much. I don't want to leave a job teaching at this school, but if I have to, in order to stop teaching this, I will. So can we kind of troubleshoot? Can we come up with some solutions and some compromises to make this work for both of us? Again, come to them face to face. You'll be able to express that tone so much better. Now, last things I'll say before I wrap up this episode, you might be thinking, okay, Rebecca, well, what do I do in the meantime? Because even if I have these conversations and I propose these solutions, it's still October and we still have to make it to May, or we still have to make it to June. So what do I do the rest of the school year if nothing is going to happen until next school year? Okay, so here are a few things I would say. First, if this is a class you've been teaching for a long time and you're just like over it, I would see this year as an opportunity to kind of turn this class that you hate, that you've taught for a while, on autopilot and just kind of semi-coast and focus all your energy and your creativity on those classes that you do enjoy teaching, that you do really get a lot of life and energy from. And then that can also kind of show your admin, like, we need more sections of anatomy because look how inspired these students are. Look how much they're thriving this course. Look how much we're all loving it. And so I feel like it's okay if you've taught a class a lot to kind of turn it on autopilot, if you will, for a year or two. Now, another thing I will say is, if that's not necessarily the case, like, maybe this is the first time you've taught something and you just really hate it, I would really encourage you to consider investing in some like fun new labs or resources to help you look forward to teaching that class. You know, I know that purchasing resources is not our favorite thing, but, you know, sometimes desperate times can come for desperate measures, and you can find another teacher who absolutely loves teaching forensics or who loves teaching physics, and you can purchase resources that they've poured their blood, sweat, and tears into, and then they can make your class more fun. Now, I will say, spoiler alert, if you've been around TBT at all, you know that they usually do a sale once per quarter, and oftentimes we don't know when the actual dates are. But the quarter four sale, so quarter four is like October, November, December, it is always Cyber Monday and Tuesday. I know they could get crazy and do something else, but like for the last 4 or 5 years, it's been Cyber Monday and Tuesday, which is at the end of November. And so you can just start looking now, start like doing some research, putting things on your wish list, and then wait until then, and you'll be able to save like 25% on those resources. And then maybe you can buy some things for next semester to really hype you up and get you excited to come back and teach this course. And then the last thing I'll say to do in the meantime, when I think about back to teaching eighth grade, when I truly hated it, I will say that I tried to use my time with them productively to train them to be the kind of students I wanted to have in high school. So that ended up being one of the biggest benefits of teaching eighth grade. Instead of focusing on how much I didn't love the age of eighth graders, or instead of focusing on how hard it was to manage all of their feelings and hormones and just going through puberty, and instead of focusing on how much like physical science wasn't my favorite content area to teach, instead I focus on, I'm going to have these students next year for ninth grade biology, which is my baby, which is my favorite course. What can I do now to prepare them to make ninth grade bio even more epic when I get to have them? And what can I teach them then? What content can I do? What skills can we teach that'll make it even easier when I have them next year? Or how can I even get to know these students in a way that will then make managing the class so much easier next year? Because I know them, they know me, I know their shenanigans, they know, you know, what bees get stuck in my bonnet, and we can work together next year to have an even better year in biology together. So really consider, what are ways that you can not waste this year teaching these sections that you hate? How can you use them productively? Maybe it comes with like doing a partnership with a teacher at another school who teaches this class and loves it. Like, you love biology, you hate chemistry. Another teacher loves chemistry, hates biology. How can you partner with this teacher and say, hey, let's like share resources, let's share ideas, let's support each other in the things we love versus hate, and really try to make it as productive as you possibly can so the time doesn't feel wasted. So all of that to say, if you are in a teaching situation this year and you're teaching something you really, really just don't like, I hope that this episode kind of encourages you and motivates you with some practical things you can do moving forward just to get through this school year, but also to not end up in this same situation next school year. And like I said at the beginning, if you have a topic you want to hear about on the podcast, let me know. Shoot me an email or DM me on Instagram. I love making content that you want to hear. And most likely, if you're struggling with something like this teacher was who reached out to me about this topic, someone else is too. You're not alone. And so I would love to kind of connect the dots and help you not feel isolated in your current struggles and also encourage you through them. So again, thank you just for listening to today's episode. As always, make sure you know you can always find any links I mentioned. I mentioned a few blog posts about, you know, conversations and working with admin. You can find those in the show notes at itsnotrocketscienceclassroom.com/episode42. And also, don't forget, I want you to grab your free Halloween-themed high school science activities that you can use all month long, all October. These are perfect for it in your science classes. You can find them at itsnotrocketscienceclassroom.com/Halloween. All right, teacher friends, that wraps up today's episode. If you're looking for an easy way to start simplifying your life as a secondary science teacher, head to itsnotrocketscienceclassroom.com/challenge. to grab your classroom reset challenge. And guess what? It's totally free. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll see you here next week. Until then, I'll be rooting for you, teacher friend.